Poster 1, Martin Luther Reformation. When we think of Martin Luther, the connection is often made with Reformation of religion. Nevertheless, the title of our exhibition this year is not religious reformation. It is because the impact Martin Luther made was not only on the religious level. Starting from Martin Luther, we have a turning point in history, which is the beginning of the collapsing of Middle Ages, or the Dark Ages. The impact Martin Luther made was far beyond religion, but also in the political arena, economic, cultural, even in art. There was a broadening of worldview. Posters 2 and 3. In these two posters, it is written in Chinese, running ahead of horses, changing the landscape of our world, forsaking darkness, moving towards bright light. Summarizing the turning point in history during the Middle Ages, this is the picture of Martin Luther in the bottom right of poster number 3. Poster number 4. The pioneer of religious reformation, Martin Luther. Poster number 5. The family background of Martin Luther. We are going to start with the personhood of Martin Luther. It is because the reformation he fought for was closely woven with his personal life experiences. His life family background, his understanding of character of God and the circumstantial influences of his time, what he was facing and his struggle with faith, were all important components of what led to the formation of his role in the Reformation. Posters 6 to 8. Faith and religion were in a chaotic state, which led to confusion and purpose of life in people's minds. Starting from the 6th century to the 15th century, which the historian labeled as the Dark Ages, it was a time when Martin Luther was born. It was a time at the hinges of human history, transforming from the Dark Ages to the modern period. The state of the church was a combination of religious superstition and moral decay. The general public had to believe that the end is near. Jesus is the final judge who will ride on a cloud or rainbow to bring judgment to the world, and Jesus Christ is also known as gracious and offers salvation. However, the people were deep into superstition and myth, overtaken by fear of hell. Their lives were filled with various types of witchcraft, fear of devils and ghosts, and accepted different types of exorcism, all the while holding on to the notion of Christ as Lord, praying fervently during a time when the Black Death was rampaging their land. The teaching of the church was salvation by works and the damnation of the wicked. The places of worship were seen as protection for the sacred. It was popular to worship sacred fetishes, visiting holy sites, earning salvation through good works, which were all upheld by the church as means to escape judgment to come. This led to deep corruption in the Roman Catholic Church, such as selling of indulgences, and was a way for the church to gather money, fueling many of their immoral practices. Poster 9 to 10. The four main characteristics of social landscape of Martin Luther's time. Population. Number one, population. During the 14th century, the plague destroyed a large population of the time. During the 15th century, things started to get better, and there was an increase in population. And at the same time, more and more people were moving to the urban area to search for jobs. Second, the sprouting of knowledge and technology. Sea navigation and discovery, the rising of mining and metal industries. Many feudatories began to become more and more powerful and sought independence. In 1492, Columbus discovered for Europe the New World. Many countries were becoming more and more powerful, including Spain, Portugal, England, and France, as they were exposed to different parts of the world. Germany remained as a country that did not declare independence at the time. Third, the rising of the new worldview. Europe was opening to new perspectives on viewing the world and the universe. This led people to challenge the Pope and the Vatican. National identities were strongly established in people's minds. Feudatories and secular monarchs saw more power in order to be independent. Fourth, the uprising of peasantry. Low-level peasantries demanded more social benefits, oftentimes in the name of religion. they initiated insurrection. Poster 11, the cultural impact of Renaissance. Poster 12, during the thousands of years of the Middle Ages, the powerful few in the royalty were made monarchs and given religious offices and authorities, controlling staggering measures of political, economical, and religious influences, enjoying power over the masses, and often held onto their high positions without being challenged. Comparatively, the general public was represented by the lower level, civilian, working peasantries, and ordinary laities. In the social structure of the time, most people do not possess any power or rights, and inevitably vanished into the backdrop of dark ages. Poster 13, Ways of Renaissance, Changing Social and Cultural Landscape. Towards the end of 14th century, with its origin in Italy, the Renaissance was gradually igniting the rising of humanism all over Europe. Upholding the Greek and Roman way of thinking, seeking to define human existence from a worldview that valued objective logic and political regulation, also having the Hebrew influence on faith to establish significance of human life. Under these two worldviews, the social and cultural developments were being shaped even in the past 500 to 600 years. Poster 14, the impact on theological views and the operation of the church. Under the tide of cultural impact, the reformation of biblical scriptures, interpretation, and the church regulations were being challenged. John Wycliffe of England insisted on translating the Bible into English, held strongly onto the authority of the Bible, and resisted the authority of Vatican. He was strongly persecuted. Even after decades of John Wycliffe's death, his remaining was dug up, burned, and scattered into the River Swift. John Hus, a Czech priest who was deeply influenced by John Wycliffe, opposed the Vatican and was burned at the stake. Nevertheless, the cry of Reformation lived on and was gaining momentum. Poster 15, the introduction of the printing industry, bringing the publishing enterprise, enhancing exchanging of ideas. During the middle of 15th century, Johannes Gutenberg introduced the mechanical movable type printing to Europe, which played a key role in the development of Reformation and expedited the spread of learning to the masses. Martin Luther's writing was spread swiftly all over Europe thanks to the newly introduced printing technology. Poster 16, establishment of colleges nurturing talented students. Towards the end of the 15th century, different countries in Europe were establishing colleges, nurturing talented students, studying different classes, accelerating learning, which led to an emerging of talented scholars debating different perspectives. The intellectual acceleration not only brought excitement to the people, also facilitated astrology, medicines, mathematics, breakthroughs, and scientific advancement. It was an unstoppable movement that brought humanity into a brand new era. Poster 17, Early Life of Martin Luther. Poster 18, on November 10th, 1483, Martin Luther was born in Eschaden, Germany, from a family struggling. He was the eighth child of the total 9 children in the family. November 11 was St. Martin's Day, therefore his father, Hans Luther, a copper miner, named him Martin Luther. As you can see, his father's last name is Luther, L-U-D-E-R, whereas Martin Luther's last name is L-U-T-H-E-R, and which Martin Luther changed his last name later on in his life because Luther means stubborn, and Luther means being redeemed and transformed. And so his father, Hans, and Margaret Lindemann Luther were very strict in disciplining Martin and had high expectations for him. Soon after Martin was born, his family moved to Menzel, where Martin Luther spent his childhood. Poster 19, giving himself to learn Latin, developing strong language skills. During Martin Luther's childhood and adolescence year, under the guidance of strict faculty, Martin Luther went under a period of strenuous study of debates and languages. The young Martin Luther went to the local Latin school and then entered Magdeburg under the influence of Renaissance and rise of humanism, following the scholarly disciplines of the brethren of the common life. When Martin Luther was an adolescent, his parents sent him to Erskinet for continual education, learning the basics of grammar, rhetoric, and logic, building a good foundation for his language skill in Latin. Poster 20. Passion for music and involvement with the ministry of choir. The life of Martin Luther had tremendous impact on the ministry of choir in church. His musical gifting and ability were budding and visible even during his childhood. Since Luther's childhood, he loved music and was a choir boy at St. George. Forming choir groups with other children to perform at people's homes in various locations for the purpose of earning some money to help with their school tuition and family needs. Poster 21. Strict disciplines at home and authoritarian ways of education led to a deep fear for their heavenly father. Luther referred to his early schooling years as purgatory-like. The authoritarian and merciless ways of discipline, both at home and at school, marred Luther's heart with fear and bitterness. When Luther recalled this harsh season of schooling, he stated that school proved to be the gate of hell, the classrooms were prison cells, and teachers were like the cruel prison guards. Students were dumpy in the stables. Even compare school principals as their tyrant. School is hell-like prison. There was nothing there but fear and sorrow, wits and trembling, and Martin stated that he learned nothing. Experiences like this often led Martin Luther to project the harshness of the human authority figure in his image of the Heavenly Father. Martin was a sensitive and emotional adolescent. Poster 22. Entering college, studying a philosophy and seeking after faith. In 1501, the 17-year-old Martin Luther entered into the famous University of Erfurt, a hard-working student, earning himself as one of the top students at school. In 1505, Luther graduated as the second in his class with a master's degree in literature. Well-trained in the philosophies of Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas, the school of thought during Martin Luther's time opposed the blind following of authority, the highly valued evidence-based reasoning, which was displayed in Luther's strength in logical thinking later on. Nevertheless, compared to the emphasis on human logic and natural evidence in the Aristotle school of thought, later on Martin moved gradually away to a focus on God's love and revelation to humanity, which Martin deemed as more important. Poster 23. Facing difficulties, strenuous struggles, continuous searching for maturity. Through first life experiences, starting from the early years of strict self-exaltation, his intense disciplines in the monastery led Luther into confusion of life's meaning. The inner question of how one can stand before a righteous and holy God who is the judge and meet God's expectation was a driven force that pushed Luther to seek assurance of salvation and attainment of righteousness before God. Entering monastery, intense soul searching for salvation from God. Poster 25. Facing the fear of death, wrestling with the meaning of life. The difficulty Martin faced as a young man, especially during the year of 1505, intensified by three death-related incidents. First, it was the death of his close friend that forced Luther to ponder the end of every human's life. Next, it was an accident in which Luther fell and he was stabbed on his inner thigh by a small knife he was carrying. The excessive bleeding almost took his life. Another incident occurred on July 2nd, following his father's command, Luther entering law school. While on his way to school, Luther was almost struck by a lightning at Sartenham. Under the influence of extremely fearful and dangerous incident, Luther cried out to Saint Anne, who was known as the protector of minor. He cried out, "Saint Anne, help me, I will become a monk." After this, in spite of strong opposition from his parents, Luther entered St. Augustine's monastery in Erfurt, began his secluded life as a monk, though still with tirelessness, spiritual discipline. Poster 26. The Middle Age churches were increasingly starting to form many unbiblical traditions and so-called faith-based regulations, especially when it comes to the Vatican's supremacy and authority and the policy that projected Pope's ruling position. Many people began to grumble and resist living in such religious system and social structure since his childhood. Although a monk, Luther still struggled against and was doubtful towards various church policies and regulations. And this only added to the inner conflict for Luther during this time. Poster 27. Due to these conditions, which led Luther into constant spiritual depression and deep misery, he was even resentful towards God's existence. When Luther looked back to his monastic life, he commented that all of his monastery brethren could testify for him that if Luther were to continue his monastic lifestyle of tireless night watch, prayer, reading, and of other chores, he would have been killed. Luther commented that he was an exceptional monk who followed meticulously all of the monastery rules to the point that if it was possible to enter heaven by living a rigorous monastic life, Luther would be accepted into heaven. Poster 28. During this time, Martin Luther met the general of St. Augustine Monastery, Johann Paul Staupitz. Staupitz believed is leaning towards having an inner spirituality. He believed that besides repentance and confession, if one excessively esteemed the good deeds of man, it would be a sign of pride before God. Therefore, the emphasis should be on complete surrender to God, to have a mystic unit with God, and one would attain true peace. Luther was deeply attracted to Staupitz's thoughts on faith. Oftentimes, he would seek counsel from him and confess his sin to Staupitz. One of these confession sessions was more than 6 hours long. Staupitz also admired Luther's devotion and decided to prepare him to be his successor. Poster 29. Strenuous study of the Bible. Eyes opened to the truth of righteousness through faith. Von Staupitz was the first dean of the newly founded University of Wittenberg. He encouraged Luther to teach at the university and at the same time continue his study in theology. In 1508, Luther received a bachelor's degree in biblical studies and another bachelor's degree in sentences by Peter Lombard in 1509. Luther was a serious student of Latin and Hebrew, having a good grip on the biblical language. In 1512, after he was awarded in his doctor of theology and was received into the Senate of the Theological Faculty of the University of Wittenberg. At this turning point of Luther's life, he gradually moved from the study of philosophy to theological studies. Luther succeeded Staupitz as chair of theology and was the professor for classes on the Book of Romans, Book of Galatians, Book of Hebrews, and Psalm, especially for the Book of Romans, which taught righteousness through faith, opened the eyes of Luther and led him to see the holy righteous God has provided a path to life by his mercy and grace. Poster 30. His son Jesus, challenging church traditions as the forerunner of Reformation. Poster 31. Physical distress couldn't silence the accusation of sin. Under the extremely demanding monastic lifestyle at St. Augustine Monastery, Luther often fasted and prayed, confessed sins rigorously, and performed good deeds, following the strict regulation of the monastery so intensely that Luther fainted multiple times, risking his health and life, but was never able to escape the accusation of sin. The more suffering Luther endured, the more he understood righteousness can never be attained by flesh and blood, because the burdensome guilt seems like an enormous and immovable rock between God and man. Luther constantly doubted his salvation. Poster 32. Pilgrimage to Rome, witnessing corruptions, sinking into painful disappointment. In 1510, Luther was sent on a pilgrimage to Rome, visited some sacred sites, arranged confession time, even climbed the sacred stairway by kneeling at each step. But in return, Luther revealed a deeper sense of disappointment and hopelessness. He witnessed firsthand the corruption of Vatican and Rome, the luxurious and immoral lifestyle of the priest. It was shocking and unacceptable to Luther. The problem of the church of his time became real to Luther. Poster 33. Grasping the revelation of righteousness through faith, and the righteous shall live by faith. During 1515 to 1516, as Luther was teaching the book of Romans and Galatians, he was still terrified of the righteous God, even to the point of resenting. Luther expressed that he couldn't say that he was in love with God, with the righteous God who was ever ready to punish sinners. There was even a sense of hatred toward God, that a poor sinner who lived under the law in terrifying fear, unable to be delivered by the original sin, but had to suffer the torment of the so-called gospel that was taught by the church back then. Luther prayed, meditated, and pondered the meaning of the biblical scriptures. In the end, Luther discovered that one does not receive righteousness through righteous deeds. It can only be done by God's grace. It was not something man can earn, but it was for men to receive. When Luther understood the meaning of Romans 1:17, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. He experienced spiritual breakthroughs. Because the righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel, this righteousness is revealed by faith, and the righteous shall live by faith. Poster 34. Luther's spiritual breakthrough. At the latter years, Luther recalled this spiritual breakthrough and referred to it as Primer Libinus. As he stated, for this spiritual breakthrough, he made a remark that though I lived as a monk without reproach, I felt that I was a sinner before God with an extremely disturbed conscience. I could not believe that he was placated by my satisfaction. I did not love, yes, I hated the righteous God who punished sinners and secretly, if not blasphemously, secretly murmuring greatly. I was angry with God and said, indeed, it is not enough that miserable sinners eternally lost through original sin are crushed by every kind of calamity by the law of the Decalogue, without having God add pain to pain by the gospel and also by the gospel threatening us with his righteousness and wrath. Thus I raged with a fierce and troubled conscience. Nevertheless, I beat importantly upon Paul at that place, most ardently desiring to know what St. Paul wanted. At last, by the mercy of God, meditating day and night, I gave heed to the context of the words, namely, in the righteousness of God is revealed, as it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. There I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that by which the righteous live by a gift of God, namely by faith. And this is the meaning, the righteousness of God is revealed by the gospel, namely the passive righteousness with which merciful God justifies us by faith, as it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. Here I felt that I was altogether born again, and I had entered paradise itself through open gates. The total utter face of entire scripture showed itself to me. Thereupon I ran through the scriptures from memory. I also found, in other terms, in acknowledgy, as the work of God, that is, what God does in us, the power of God, with which he makes us strong, the wisdom of God, with which he makes us wise, the strength of God, the salvation of God, the glory of God. And I extolled my sweetest word with a love as great as the hatred with which I had before hated the word righteousness of God. Thus, that place in Paul was for me truly the gate to paradise. Poster 35. Joyfully systemize the theology of the cross. Luther believed that this discovery is the central theme of the Bible. It also became the theological foundation for religious reformation that followed after. By God's grace, through Christ's loving sacrifice on the cross, made available for all, providing a way for sins to be forgiven, conscious, washed clean, no longer carrying the burden of sin, but through joyful thanksgiving, one can obey and follow God's will from the heart. Poster 36. Rooted in the Bible, presenting the three sola. When translating the Bible, the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 28, to Germany, Luther added an additional word sola, which means alone. For we hold that one is justified by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. Even under the criticism for adding the word sola, which means alone, Luther insisted on keeping the word sola due to grammatical structure of in Germany. Therefore, after the religious reformation began, the slogan was grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. Once these three sola were established, they were easy for people to grasp, and he expedited the spread of religious reformation. Grace alone reveals the love of God, tells of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Faith alone led to dependence on grace from God and Christ. Scripture alone became the sense and plumb line of the Reformation. On top of that, there was the teaching in the book of Galatians on grace over law. In the book of Hebrews, Christ as the high priest, who is also the mediator, and the royal priesthood of all who believe, laid the foundation of theology of the cross. And it's also the foundation of faith for religious Seventh Reformation. Discontent with the Vatican ignited the explosion of religious reformation. Poster 38, insisting on righteousness through faith and theology of the cross. By prolonging study of the scripture, Luther's view on God was drastically different from before. In the past, Luther only saw God as stoic, cruel, and terrifying. Luther sensed that no matter how much penance one performed, it would never be enough for a sinner to approach God and earn salvation from God. After the revelation of righteousness through faith and theology of the cross as the center of his faith, Luther saw that salvation is from a loving God through the finished work of the cross. One can receive salvation freely by accepting the finished work of the cross of Christ. Because of his stance on righteousness through faith, Luther was an enthusiastic critic of Roman Catholic Church of his day, especially when it comes to the selling of indulgences. Finally, the inevitably religious reformation exploded. Poster 39. Posting of the 95 Theses in a conflict with the Vatican. On 1517, October 31st, in order to oppose Pope for selling indulgences, Luther wrote down the 95 Theses, or the disputation on the power of indulgences, and nailed it on the door of All Saints Church and the other churches in Wittenberg. Initiated the debate of selling of indulgences, the authority of the Pope to forgive sins, and the treasure of merit in which the Pope could use to forgive temporal punishment of sins. Poster 40. In the writing of the 95 Theses, Luther questioned and disproved Pope's authority to forgive sins and the effectiveness of indulgences. The belief of at the sound of the coins in the treasury, souls could be released from the purgatory immediately, was completely rejected by Luther. Luther's writing circulated widely throughout Europe, attacking the authority of the Pope. It led to various danger and numerous debates on faith in Luther's life. Poster 41. The 95 Theses, or the disputation on the power of indulgences, was written originally in Latin, which Luther was hoped to only initiate academic debate. However, someone translated the 95 Theses into German, and through the technology of printing, it spread widely, stirring up religious reformation. Poster 42. As a monk, in the eyes of Luther, depending on indulgences, merit, and forgiveness of the Pope were nothing more than false security for peace. Only by true repentance and carrying one's own cross could one enter into heaven. The core belief of 95 Theses is that comparing to God's grace and the finished work of the cross, indulgences were in reality extremely insignificant. Poster 43. Heidelberg Disputation. For the purpose of disputing the 95 Theses, the Pope demanded Luther's teacher, von Staupitz, to dispute Luther on April 25th, 1517. 18. At the lecture hall of Augustinian order, yet both subjects gave Luther the chance to articulate his views. In the defense of his thesis, Luther presented the doctrine of human depravity, included all who were of Augustinian order presented. Only through by placing one's hope in the finished work of the cross can one receive salvation. His defense gained him many supporters of the Reformation that day. Unless men are broken by the humility and shame displayed on the cross, no one will be able to know God in His glory and authority. Poster 44. During this time, Luther continued to write a summary and explanation of the 95 Theses, challenging the view on the inerrancy of the Catholic Church. Luther pointed out that the Roman Catholic Church, prior to Gregory the Great, was not higher in position to other churches, at least not higher than the Greek Church. Luther was firm in his belief that one needs not to be afraid of losing their place in the Roman Catholic Church, nor be afraid of being condemned to death by the Church, even if the judgment made by the Church is just. If the person genuinely repents, he or she is still saved. And if the judgment is unjust, then the person is blessed. Poster 45, Examination at Augsburg, on October 12th to 14th of 1518. Luther was examined by the papal legate Thomas Cardinal Kretzikan during the imperial diet. The papal legal reminded that the biblical scripture needed to be interpreted, and the Pope is the chosen interpreter of the Bible, which made the Pope the supreme authority over all the churches. Luther rejected such teaching furiously, and the hearings of the hearings degenerated into a shouting match. In 1519, Papal Nuncius Karl von Miltitz adopted a more subtle approach. Luther made a certain concessions to the Saxon and promised to remain silent if his opponent did as well. Poster 46, Leipzig Disputation. In 1519, Luther and the theologian Johann Eck were presented as opponents at the Leipzig Disputation. Eck turned away from the debate of indulgences and focused on Luther's undermining of the authority of the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope. The debate lasted for 18 days. Luther was forced to make clear assertion that neither popes nor the church councils were infallible, and the Bible is the only authority for Christians. Poster 47. After Leipzig's disputation on 15th of June, 1520, the Pope declared Luther as a heretic, and he burned Luther's writings and warned Luther with the papal bull that he is risking to be excommunicated unless he recanted his writings, including the 95 Theses, within 60 days. Luther did not recant, but continued to uphold the authority of the Bible. Poster 48. Further clarification on his declaration of faith, focusing on publication of writings. In 1520, Luther continued to publish his writing, which included the assertion concerning all articles, prelude on Babylonian captivity of the church, and on the freedom of a Christian, and hundreds of booklets in German, which were all circulated widely and well received by the common people of his days. Luther publicly set fire to the bull and decretals at Wittenberg. As consequences, Luther was excommunicated by Pope Leo V on January 3rd, 1521. Poster 49, Diet of Worms. Under the urging of Pope, Emperor Charles V ordered Luther to appear before the Diet of Worms on 18th of April of 1521. Luther knew the danger that was before him, that he could risk his life by attending before the assembly. Nevertheless, he was determined to defend the truth found in the Bible, stating that even if the demons were going to be as numerous as the tiles of the roof in Worms, facing the threat of the authority, Luther held on to his stance on the authority of the scripture. Poster 50. On On April 18th, 1521, at 6 p.m., after a whole night of earnest prayer, Luther declared, "Unless I'm convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in the Council alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Amen." Postscript 51. Leaving Worms on his way back home, Luther was intercepted by Frederick the Wise, who had always been his strong supporter and had Luther hidden in Warburg Castle in Essenich. Postscript 52. A month after the Diet of Worms, the Pope declared Luther as a stubborn heretic, a representative of the devil, all laws and burned Luther's writings, forbid anyone for providing housing or support Luther in any way, declaring that Luther and all his supporters should be rid of and anyone could arrest and persecute them. During this time, Luther was hidden in Warburg Castle. He grew a beard, changed his monk robe, and his name into Junker Georg. The duration of his hiding was 10 months. Poster 53. During Luther's stay at Wartburg Castle, Luther penned 13 books and translated the Bible from its original Hebrew and Greek language into common German. Prior to this, church did not encourage church members to read the Bible for themselves. Therefore, only the Latin translation of the Bible was available. Very few people could read or understand it. After the German believers had access to German Bible, the authority of the scripture gradually took the place of the authority of Vatican and the Pope. This brought tremendous change in the daily lives of the German people. The surrounding country also started to have the Bible be translated into their own languages, replacing the Latin translation of the Bible. With the help of the new technology of printing, more and more believers had access to the Bible, and the force of religious reformation was more stabilized. Poster 54. Returning to Wittenberg, taking charge of the Reformation. However, during the time of disappearance of Luther, Wittenberg was in chaos. The Reformation movement was in a state of confusion. In 1521, Andreas Karstadt, a friend of Luther, embarked on a radical program of reformation. He performed the first Reformed communion service, in which he did not elevate the elements of communion, wore secular clothing during the service, and let the communicants take both bread and wine on their own during the communion. He advocated the confiscation of the church property and treasuries by the government, and the removal of the statues in the churches and the images as well. At the end of the same year, a band of missionary zealots, the so-called Zwickau prophet, arrived and started to preach Christ's imminent return. Poster 55. In 1522, the town council of Wittenberg asked Luther to return to take charge of the Reformation. One of the first things Luther did upon returning to Wittenberg was to publish the New Testament in German, then brought forth a compilation of hymns together with his colleagues and friends. Philip Melanchthon wrote the Book of Concord based on the doctrine of justification by faith. In 1524, another colleague of Luther also finished a hymnal of Reformation. Henceforth, from the Bible, theology, worship, art, and hymns, the Protestant Church reformers were officially separated from the Roman Catholic Church. Religious Reformation spread gradually all over Europe. For the past 500 years, he had great influence in human history and culture. Poster 56. From 1524 to 1525, Martin Luther faced one of the greatest challenges during Reformation. Since the beginning of Reformation, Luther was strongly supported by the Christian intellectuals. One of the intellectuals of his time, Desiderius Erasmus, was one of the most influential humanists and theologian. Erasmus wrote a book on free will, pointed out that men have free will. In response, Luther wrote on the bondage of the will. Luther taught against that the righteous acts of believers are performed in cooperation with God. Luther wrote that Christians receive such righteousness entirely from outside of themselves. The debate was white hot, and many intellectuals thought of Luther as being too extreme. Under the leadership of Erasmus, many left Luther's Reformation movement, causing Luther to lose a significant amount of support from the intellectuals of his time. Poster 57. Offending the peasantry, losing the support of the peasants. On the other hand, the German peasantry were in violent conflict with the royals for the sake of gaining more power and benefits. During the peasantry revolt, much of the royals' blood was shed. Luther opposed the violent revolt, turned to be on the side of the royals, in an attempt to push back the peasantry's revolt to maintain social stability. Due to Luther's action, many peasants left the Reformation movement. Within the span of a year, Luther lost both the support of the intellectuals and the peasantry. Also, in the same year, the loyal support of Luther, Frederick the Wise, passed away. Nevertheless, Luther pressed on ahead to continue the expansion of the Reformation movement. Poster 58. After the Dire Worms, wars were rising frequently, including the Peasant War. Therefore, the order to punish Luther for his heresy by Charles V was never executed. Between 1526 and 1529, at the Diet of Speyer, holding two sessions for the purpose of examining the conflict between the Roman Catholic Church and Martin Luther. On 27th of August, the Diet concluded that each member of the Diet should have the right to religious liberty and to act as he pleased, therefore temporarily put the decree to condemn Luther as a heretic was put aside. However, during 1529, the Second Diet, the Council made the decision to press on the charge of heresy of Luther, then to rid of Reformation movement. Only a few dukes who were in favor of Luther rise in protest, which was the origin for the word or the name Protestant. Poster 59, Charles V convened a diet to meet at Augsburg in 1530 to address unresolved religious issues. At the time of the Diet of Augsburg, Martin Luther was an outlaw of the empire and as a result was unable to present at a diet. Staying at West Coburg, he made himself present through a variety of publications, including the compositions of the admonition to all the clergy assembled at Augsburg. Philip Melanchthon was Luther's representative at the meeting and a primary author of the Augsburg Confession of Faith, which was written at the bishop's residence in Augsburg. The Augsburg Confession is the definitive statement of faith for Lutherans. Charles V responded to the confession with the pontifical confutations of the Augsburg Confession. Melanchthon responded with a writing of the apology of the Augsburg Confession. However, it was strongly opposed by the Vatican, therefore, a persecution was issued against the Reformation movement, making a clear split between the Reformer and the Roman Catholic Church. Poster 60. Martin Luther's marriage and family. Poster 61. Luther opposed the restriction on marriage for the priests and nuns and assisted many monks and nuns to escape from the convent. Luther married Katharina Vobora, one of the 12 nuns he had helped escape from the Nimbican Cistercian convent in April 1523. Katharina born 6 children and was of a great aid to Luther. Poster 62. Katharina took on the task of administrative work in managing the vast holdings of the monastery, breeding and selling cattle, and running a brewery in order to provide for their family and the steady stream of students who boarded with them and visitors seeking audiences with her husband. Under the care of Katharina, Luther became big in stature. They loved each other deeply. They were strong in prayer and spiritual insight. Katharina was often disturbed by Luther's extreme generosity, and Luther taught Katharina the Bible. On the other hand, Katharina will also instruct Luther with the forgiveness taught in the gospel and often encouraged Luther when he became discouraged. One day, Luther was on the verge of losing all hope and giving up. Katharina decided to dress in all black. Luther asked Katharina if she was going to a funeral. Katharina replied, "No, but you have been so hopeless, looking as if God is dead. I can join you and weep together." After that, Luther understood his wife's rebuke and rose from his hopelessness. Poster 63. Luther and his children. Luther and Katharina had 6 children: Hans, Elizabeth, Magdalena, Martin, Paul, and Margaretha. Luther loved his children and enjoyed spending time with them. However, he lost 2 of his children to the plagues of his time. Poster 64. Family fellowship education at home. The Luther family loved music. The family fellowship was often accompanied by praise and worship. Luther once expressed that he was going to let his children not only to be educated in language arts and history, he was determined to also let them learn singing, music, and math. More importantly to Luther, family is the school of spirituality and character for the children. It is the parents' responsibility to educate the children. As Luther further stated that parents give birth to children, bringing the children's physical shape into the world, parents have responsibility to educate their children, shaping children's hearts and will. Parents pass on the truth to the children, building a firm foundation for the children to be shaped into Christ-likeness. Therefore, parents and educators need to partner with God, asking for the work of the Holy Spirit. Poster 65. Spontaneous teaching, dinner table discussion, to be complied for publication. In order to help with the daily spending at home, Katharina rented out empty rooms at her home, housing more than 20 students, also providing meals. At the dinner table, Luther would bring up different topics of discussions. The students would take notes of Luther's teaching at the dinner table, and later on publish a collection of Martin Luther's sayings, which was titled Poster 66, Luther's Historical and Social Influences and Contributions. Poster 67. Prolific hymn writer promoting church music. Luther loved music. He could play instruments, sing and compose music, and write lyrics. He joined the church choir since childhood, and as a father, he often sang hymns with his children. One of Luther's colleagues stated that he spent a lot of time singing joyfully with Luther, and it seems like Luther never ran out of energy or interest in singing, and was often initiating passionate discussion on music. Luther once said that music is the most beautiful and greatest blessing. As he stated, "I'm often so moved that I am filled with strength to preach. Music is also God's weapon. It can chase away the devil, bringing heavenly joy to men." He also stated that devil hates God's music, and that his heart and soul are often refreshed by music, delivering him from all kinds of pain and anxiety. That the Heavenly Father desires for the church to have music forever. This limitless blessing only possessed by human, reminding humanity its purpose for living, which is praising and magnifying God's glory. Poster 68. Luther was passionate for music, composing music, and gave himself to the ministry of the church. Luther insisted that music shouldn't be a mere act of following traditions. It should be a response for the congregation to praise the goodness of the Lord. This is a wonderful application of the priesthood of all believers. He also upgraded the form of sacred music, translating them into German from Latin. And the lyrics were all scripture-based. The melody is often easy to follow with many repetitions, which were called chorale. This is a brand new form of worship, without the baggage of man-made tradition, which inspired the hymns to be often dramatic and can be sung as an a cappella. There was a popular saying stating that having the Bible in German, God was able to clearly communicate with the German believers. And having the hymns in German, German believers can pray to God directly. Poster 69. Luther published 39 hymns in his whole lifetime. 11 of them were Latin hymns translated into German. 4 of them were folk songs of his time in which he rewrote. 7 of them were based on the Book of Psalms. One of the most popular works of Luther was based on Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. Poster 70. According to a theologian, Luther brought forth 3 great gifts for the church. First, it was the recovering of justification by faith. Second, it was the translation of the Bible. Third, it was the hymns. Luther also said that besides the biblical truth, he placed music at its highest place. Besides the word of God, the praises expressed through music changed and transformed God's children's character and life. Poster 71. Luther was also a great influence on Johann Sebastian Bach, who was born 200 years later in the same town of Eisenach, baptized in the same church as Luther, St. George, joined the same choir and entered into St. George Latin School just like Luther. Bach was a student to sacred music, performing a total of 30 hymns written by Luther. Through different expressions of musical performances, who awakened the worshippers all across the land. Poster 72. The spreading of passion for Reformation, turning a new page in history. Religious Reformation in Germany. In 1527, Luther and his colleagues introduced a new order of worship during their visitation of Exarchate of Saxony. In 1530, more than half of the German territories were part of the new order of Reformation. Luther gave his life to the establishment of the Lutheran Church's worship order, practices, and music, until he passed away in 1546. Poster 73, the emerging of religious Reformation all over Europe. In 1523, Zwingli gave a formal opinion for the Reformation progresses in Switzerland. Due to the political reasons, England also went under religious Reformation. In 1537, Calvin published the Institutes of the Christian Religion. Basing on Geneva, bringing impact all over Europe. In 1537, Denmark-Norway transitioned from Roman Catholicism to Lutheranism. Although France was still Roman Catholic, Calvinism and Lutheranism were also on the rise. The historical and cultural development of Europe was influenced by Martin Luther and the Reformation movement. Poster 74, the change inside of Roman Catholic Church. Luther rejected the absolute authority of the Roman Catholic Church, which also initiated changes within the Roman Catholic Church. In response to the Reformation movement, the voices of reform were also emerging within the Roman Catholic Church. In 1534, Ignatius of Loyola founded the Society of Jesus in opposition against Luther's Reformation movement and spearheaded the mission to Asia. Towards the end of the 18th century, Christianity was spreading widely in Asia through mission works. Poster 75, Luther's faith and its impact on the establishment of America. In 1620, 102 separatist Congregationalists from England boarded on the Mayflower, heading to the New World. The Mayflower Compact was signed aboard ship on November 11, 1620, by the 41 men, stating that, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic, for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the end of foresight, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices, from time to time as shall be thought most met and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness wherefore we have hereunto subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the reign of our sovereign lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, 1620. Poster 76. In the 18th century, when the revival fire was ignited amongst the Moravian Bohemian brethren, an intense conflict also arose between the Jesuit and the brethren. A group of Moravian Bohemians were arrested while singing "God is my refuge and strength," which was wrote by Luther. They were thrown into jail and were tortured. Later on, the brethren who escaped went to seek help from Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf. Zinzendorf entered University of Wittenberg in 1717, the same school Luther was in, and it was also the 200-year anniversary of the 95 Theses. In 1735, Zinzendorf sent a group of missionaries from Germany as pioneer missionaries to America, and this group of missionaries was the same group of Moravian brethren who came under the care of Zinzendorf. Early poster 77. Martin Luther, Reformation, and the Chinese History. Poster 78. Lutheranism was introduced to China by the missionaries towards the end of the Qing Dynasty. Xu Jingyu, who was a high-ranking Chinese official in the Fujian province, was influenced by the American missionary David Bill. During their interaction in Xiamen, Xu was greatly benefited. In his book, A Short Account of Maritime, Xu briefly presented the world geography to China, in which he mentioned Martin Luther, introducing the social humanism of his time and world history to the Chinese people. Poster 79. Xu Jingyu stated in his book, A Short Account of the Maritime, concerning Luther's impact on China as a reformer who brought the division in the religion of Europe at the time. Another Chinese philosopher, Tian Shitong, who was martyred during the Hundred Days Reform in the late Qing Dynasty, wrote in his book titled An Exposition of Benevolence that during a time of political turmoil, there should be more leaders like Martin Luther. Page 80. The popular icon of Chinese modern history, Kan Yuwei, also was found of Luther. When Kong was in exile overseas, he went to Wartburg Castle, where Luther was hiding for a time. And Tan even wrote a poem in tribute of Luther. In his book, The Memoir of Germany Journey, Kahn stated that Luther, Immanuel Kahn, Otto von Bismarck, as the Germanic three greats, and named Luther as the greatest of three. It is of no wonder that Kahn's follower nicknamed him as the Martin Luther of Confucianism. Page 81. English missionary William Moorhead wrote a short biography in Chinese of Martin Luther, and it was published in two issues of the Public News of 10,000 Nation. It was a newspaper published by the local missionaries. Poster 82. The first Lutheran missionary to China was Carl Friedrich August Gottlob from Germany. In order to share the gospel with the Chinese people, he registered himself under the Fujian province and adopted a popular local last name, Guo. He was named as the Morning Star Missionary of the Church of Lutheranism. Under his leadership, the Lutheran Church in Germany began to send more missionaries to China. Carl Gottlob was a prolific writer, and he often referred to himself as the lover of the Chinese people. Gottlob died at a young age. His grave is still residing at Hong Kong Cemetery. On his gravestone, it is engraved, "The Church Father of Chinese Lutheran Church." Gottlob Street in Hong Kong was named after him. Poster 83. Following Germany, Lutheran Church in America, Northern Europe began to send missionaries to China. The Norwegian Lutheran Church, for example, chose Hunan province as their missionary base. During the early 20th century, the Lutheran Missionary Society was established in Yinyang province, which the Hunan Yinyang Center Hospital is located. Formerly known as the Lutheran Hospital, Ho Feng Shan, a Chinese diplomat in Vienna, who risked his own life and career during the World War II to save more than 3,000 Jews, also mentioned in his autobiography concerning this hospital, located in his hometown. Poster 84. Jingongshan is a mountain resort in Xinjiang City, Henan, a southern eastern province in China. At the beginning of the early 20th century, under the promotion of the Lutheran missionaries such as Daniel Nielsen at Knott, Soshan, Stoke, many foreigners began to purchase properties on Jingongshan and started to build luxury houses. Poster 85. In August 1920, Chinese Lutheran Church Society was established in Jingongshan and founded an American school at Qikongshan. Due to the warfare back then, the school was moved to Lushan, Guangling, Wuhan, and Hong Kong. It was a school full of memories for missionaries to China. Marjorie Ingling Bai, who was American Lutheran missionary to Taiwan, who took care of lepers in Pinghu for more than 40 years, was born on Jingongshan. Poster 86. Evangelical Lutheran Church Society base is located at St. Louis, Missouri. Under the Lutheran Church, Concordia Seminary was established nearby, nurturing many missionaries to China. Hubei and Sichuan were the main missionary bases for the Evangelical Lutheran Churches in China, which were alongside the Yangtzejiang River. Many precious records were compiled in De Ko's book, Lutherans on the Yangtzejiang, who was a Lutheran scholar. Many local missionaries were graduates of the Concordia Seminary. From 1913 to 1952, during this nearly 40 years period, Evangelical Lutheran Church Society in St. Louis, Missouri, sent a total of 58 male missionaries and their family members to China, which also included 7 single female teachers and nurses. Poster 87. From China to Taiwan. In 1949, political authoritarian power was on the rise in China. Many different denominations, mission bases, organizations, and churches were moved to Taiwan. In 1951, the first Taiwanese Lutheran Church was established at Kaohsiung. After Kaohsiung's and Taiwan, Taipei, Lutheran churches also were established in Taichung, Tainan, Jiangyi, and 1954, November 10, the Taiwanese Lutheran Church Society was officially established. In the 60th anniversary of the Lutheran Church, in 2014, there was in total of 90 Lutheran churches, mission bases, and different organizations in Taiwan, which included publishing company, seminaries, Christian hospitals, and benevolence organizations. During the recent years, there were great successes in overseas medical missions and church planting from the Taiwanese Lutheran Church. 88. Although Luther had passed long ago, his impact can be traced even today. Poster 89, The Death of Martin Luther. Luther's latter years were plagued with illnesses. On January 28, 1546, due to his concern for his siblings' families continuing in their father's Hans Luther's copper mining trade, Luther journeyed to Lenzville to participate in negotiations for a settlement. During his journey back home, he arranged to preach 4 times and ordained 2 new pastors, which bring even faster deterioration to his health. He expressed to his friend Jonas that it seemed to him that being born and baptized in Mansfield, he was going to stay in Mansfield for the rest of his life. On the night of February 17th, Luther asked his friends and families to pray for the spreading of the gospel and himself also prayed. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Later on, he repeated 3 times of his prayer of committing his spirit to the Lord. His friends were by his bed, tending to his needs and comforting him. At 1 p.m., Luther awoke with more chest pain and was warmed with hot towels. He thanked God for revealing his son to him in whom he had believed. He died at 2:45 on February 18, 1546. His funeral was conducted on February 22nd, in which his body was buried in the Castle Church in Wittenberg, right beneath the pulpit. On his gravestone, it was engraved in Latin, "Theologian, Professor Martin Luther is buried here." He passed away in Mansfield on February 18, 1546, at the age of 63, 2 months and 10 days. Poster 91, Facing Death with Courage. The year before his death, Luther was bringing up discussions on death at different occasions. He wrote in a booklet titled Preparing for Death Correctly, giving instructions to Christians as to how to face death. He stated that believers should not be gripped by the terror of death and hell, but only need to earnestly think of God's love and grace for humanity. Because Lord Jesus has already carried a burden for our sins and he won the victory over death. Luther once compared death as a baby being born from the small uterus of the mother through the pathway of darkness, experiencing pain and fear to come to this beautiful world. Death is just like that narrow door. Through it, we may gain eternal life. Poster 92. Even on the day before his death, under tremendous pain, Luther humorously stated that if the lovely mistress could settle in their negotiation, he could go home, and the worms may enjoy his fat body in his coffin. After Luther's death, there was a new form for grave art, in which many of the biblical accounts on resurrections and healings were being depicted. Ministers' funeral sermons were filled with accounts of persons' lives and faithful testimonies. The traditional burying processions with the dead was going away. Hymns were changing from painful sorrow to lyrics about forgiveness, peace, and resurrection. These changes were great encouragements to the believers. Luther introduced a culture of facing death gracefully, just like Luther's close friend, Melanchthon, said, "Luther died, Luther still lives." Poster 93, Memoir of Martin Luther. Church historian Roland H. Brenton, who also wrote a biography of Martin Luther, which he titled, "Here I Stand, A Life of Martin Luther," was looking at the influence of Luther's in three aspects, Germany, church, and the doctrine. To Germany, Luther shaped the German's characteristics through the translation of the Bible in German. It was a tremendous impact on the German vernacular. Luther's influence on his own countrymen were most deeply rooted in family, and also to the church. Luther's influence was far beyond the boundaries of Germany territory. The Lutheran churches were planted all over Northern Europe and USA. Through the Western Mission Movement, it was spread to different parts of the world. Lastly, to doctrines. Luther went back to the Bible and brought forth Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and for God's glory alone. Five alone doctrines. It is accepted as norm for all different denominations. Poster 94. In the 19th century, famous historian Thomas Carlyle wrote a book titled On Heroes, Hero Worship, and Heroic in History, in which he commented Luther as a real hero whose wisdom, courage, and passion and genuineness were shown through all his self-sacrificing acts. He mentioned that Luther was highly esteemed by the people and his greatness was unlike the impressive man-made pyramid. But it was more like Mount Elf in its simplicity, humility, and unpretentiousness. Although Luther seemed unyielding, Carly pointed out, yet in the cliffs of the rocks, there is water gushing forth, nurturing the flowery valleys in between. Carly commented, Luther as both a hero and a prophet who held on to the standard of holiness. To Luther, Carlyle concluded that him and his children and the generation to come should all pay tribute to Luther Poster 95. Living it as life principles, changing history through social influences. Poster 96. A studious student of the Bible, loyal to biblical revelations. Martin Luther held firmly onto grace alone, faith alone, and scripture alone, which were the foundation of Luther's life principles, uncompromising in his doctrines, running towards the prize, courageously fighting for biblical teachings, yet at the same time was a cautious Bible teacher, unyielding when facing trials and difficulties, serving with his whole might, and faithful to the end. Luther's life was one that glorified the Lord and benefited multitudes. He lived a principled life shaped by his faith, and through it, the world was changed. Poster 97. Confirming biblical scripture authority, running the race towards Christ. In today's society, it is popular to hold on to different points of views, yet meanwhile losing what is eternal and unchangeable. In a lost and wicked generation of no absolute, no truth, no God, no direction, there's no beginning and no end. There needs to be a re-establishing of biblical authority, planting our footsteps firmly, running towards Christ, who is the faithful one, who will be worthy of the calling of Christ, not for temporal accomplishments nor fleeting praises of men, but eternal rewards stored in heaven. Poster 98. Utilizing social media tools, diligently writing. Martin Luther was born during the time when the movable type printing was spreading all over Europe. Luther caught on with the trend of his time, using the new technology, aiming for people from all status, of the royal, of the idiom, of critics, of poems, or of props. Luther was writing diligently and were initiating different discussions. Even when facing difficulties in jam-packed ministerial schedule, Luther never ceased his work of writing. The volumes of Luther's works is more than impressive. His clear logic and amazing writing skills attracted both the royals and the civilians, therefore extending the impact on all different parts of the society. Poster 99. Living in today, where through the means of social media, the world is being connected. Knowledge becomes more one of the most powerful commodity. Just like the futurist author Alvin Toffler mentioned in his book Power Shift, that knowledge itself turns out to be not only the source of the highest quality power, but also the most important ingredient of force and wealth. How shall we utilize the social media for the cause of Christ? Poster 100. Getting out of the church box of his day, impacting society. When Luther is mentioned, one most likely will emphasize on his contribution on the 95 Theses, which led to religious reformation movement, which could be limiting Luther's impact and influences to only the realm of religion. In reality, Luther emphasized that anyone can read a Bible, pray, and sing hymns to God. Before God, everyone is equal because God does not look at a person's title or position, wealth, or reputation. Yet God looks at the heart of every human being. Poster 101. Establishing foundation for human rights. God created humanity all differently and uniquely. God loves the world and prepared a way for mankind to be saved. If a person comes before God trusting in the finished work of Christ, then a person may receive righteousness of Christ through faith, inheriting salvation by grace. The gospel should be the foundation of any human rights movement. Poster 102. According to Martin Luther, whether kings or beggars, all may kneel before God in prayer. In another word, in God's eyes, rather than seeing two people outwardly, according to their title or position. In God's eyes, he sees what is in a man rather than what does a man possess. However, the current humanitarian movements often are led by different perspectives that are rooted in outward emotionalism, which led to many problems. It is the church's role to gain entrance into different arenas of society, preparing the good soil and planting the seed of the gospel. Poster 103. Establishing evangelical movement, sharing testimony of the abundant life. Martin Luther was a very serious and faithful man, living the life of a new creation in Christ. Sharing testimonies of the abundant life, Luther traveled overseas and walked through many highs and lows of life and gained victory over all trials and difficulties, faithfully finishing the task the Lord entrusted to him. His timely message was moving the hearts of the people. Luther was truly a role model in his conduct, his service, and his love for God. Poster 104. Embracing humility, magnifying the name of the Lord. Luther was truly a world changer who was second to nobody besides Lord Jesus Christ. Luther didn't think of his life more precious to himself than to establish the foundation of Christian faith on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. At the same time, influencing social, political, economical, humanitarian, and missional movements. Although Luther was highly esteemed by many, he expressed his desire to have his name to be mentioned no more, and to not call oneself Lutheran believer, but only a Christian. Because what is Luther? The truth is not rooted in Luther, nor was Luther nailed to the cross for others. Luther expressed that he was not and unwilling to be a teacher of others, because only Christ is worthy to be our teacher. Luther 105. Where is Martin Luther today? Poster 106. Turning the pages of history of humanity, there is a great sign. We see millions and billions of people busy like the ant, running around aimlessly. What did they say? What did they do? What did they leave behind? The time is fleeting away like the running water, disappearing under the waves. Poster 107. Martin Luther, who was born 500 years ago, was like an unnoticeable drift in the sea of newborn infants of his time. Born into a miner's family, not attracting any attention or care. Martin Luther was just like any other ordinary child under the strict expectations of parents and school teachers, discipline and punishment, lived his childhood day by day. It was not a main concern for Luther whether or not he was happy or unhappy. In a young Luther's little head, it was filled with what the adults esteemed to be important and essential for life. Poster 108. The only thing that made the young Luther happy was singing. Luther went to church as a form of tradition to appease his parents, although he often felt nothing, even irritated by the constraint of sitting still in the pews. Yet he was looking forward to the children choir time, when he could sing on the top of his lungs. The time of growth was like an unstoppable river. Luther continued in the mundane, just like any other child. Luther grew out of childhood, beside the knowledge that was forced into his brain. He started to discern the cry of his heart for the answer of, God, where are you? Who am I? What is the purpose of living? Poster 109. The young Martin Luther started his painful searching from the Greek debate class to the theological school. Luther's search never ended. Yet the logic of the Greek school of thought, nor the philosophical discussions, nor the merciless religious regulations and the disciplines pointed Luther to the answer he was seeking. Through more searching and diligent toiling, Martin Luther sank more into sorrow and pain. Poster 110. Martin Luther entered university with outstanding grades, almost fulfilling the dreams of his parents, becoming a knowledgeable and eloquent lawyer. Nevertheless, the impacts of life. First, it was the death of his close friend that awoken him to the imminent death of every human being. Then, it was a small accident of stabbing himself in the foot, which led Luther to think that he was on the verge of death due to losing too much blood. Lastly, it was the incident when Luther was on his way home from school. The lightning and the thunder convinced Luther that it was his last night on earth. In panic, Luther cried out, St. Anne, help me, and I will become a monk. In spite of his father's strong disagreement, Luther decided to fulfill his promise, which was made during the storm. Luther entered into St. Augustine Monastery and became a disciplined monk, searching for the truth. Poster 111. The young Martin Luther tried all there was, hoping to become a truth-seeking person, and he was ordained and blessed to become a priest. He was skilled in languages, culture, philosophy, theology, teaching, psychologist, yet, where is truth? Where is God? How can one become holy and righteous before God? Martin Luther ceased to eat, drink, and sleep. He confessed, prayed, and practiced disciplines. Yet, he sensed that he was further and further away from what he was looking for. Yet, the holiness of God could never be measured by the finite means. Martin Luther finally understood. No spiritual disciplines could make him righteous before God. Poster 112. Martin Luther, with empty hands, having nothing, humbly came before the Lord, opened the Bible he read numerous times before. He felt that God spoke to the deepest part of his soul so tenderly. Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Romans 3:28, it says, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Finally, Martin Luther's eyes were opened to see the immeasurable power of God, to see the limitless love of God, to see the five alones which God prepared for mankind. Poster 113. God, who is above time, accomplished all that we have failed to do. This is called grace alone. God, by his limitless mercy, come before everyone who is in need of his help, knocking on the doors of their hearts ever so tenderly to present the saving grace that was prepared before time, freely given to anyone who will believe. This is called faith alone. All this abundance is clearly recorded in the Bible. This is called Scripture alone. Through these three alones, it is made possible for man to enter into heaven to stand before God through Christ. Poster 114. As an experienced scholar, Martin Luther was still filled with doubt, worries, fear, and unwilling to move forward as he witnessed the corruption in the church and the ridiculous doctrines of indulgences. Seeing the injustice in his nation, desiring to overcome the authority of the Vatican, Luther felt powerless. He silently stayed in a corner of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, opened his heart to God in prayer. He cautiously wrote down the 95 theses in Latin, challenging Vatican and the Pope authority and the validity of the doctrines of the indulgences. In the beginning, Luther only wanted to spark an interest in the scholar circle. The loner Luther never felt that his 95 theses would shape the world through generations to come, marking history for more than 500 years. Poster 115. On 1517 October 31st, Martin Luther posted his 95 theses. Closing the door, he paced back and forth in his room. Later, he would hear the reading of his 95 theses in German vernacular, even being printed for the general public to read. Due to the enthusiastic response of the people, the voices of the Reformation was on the rise on every corner. The criticism and resistance toward the authority of the Roman Catholic Church was even more difficult to stop. In the midst of dangers and threats of death, Martin Luther was clueless as to how to respond, only to seek comfort for his soul, experiencing God's power, earnest in prayer, and seeking the will of God through the reading of the Bible, regaining strength through the singing of God's praise. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Poster 116. Walking out of depression, Martin Luther gained a new affirmation of his identity before God, that all men can read God's word for themselves. All may pray earnestly and sing hymns to God. When facing kings and popes' threats, Luther overcame his weaknesses and fear. He stood up with his head held up high. He proclaimed boldly and loudly, "This is my stance. I could not make any other choices. May God help me." Poster 117. The Reformation Martin Luther brought forth was not merely a change of religious regulations or traditions. In the past 500 years, Luther's act of seeking, studying, protecting, spreading of the biblical truth has impacted history and societies. First, it was the Germany renewal. Then it was the change of the whole Europe. Following after, it was the North American, even to the ends of the world. The Roman Catholic Church and the Christian mission movement to the East after the 16th century was also under the influence of Martin Luther. The road of human history for the past 500 years was marked by Martin Luther's footprint. Poster 118. In the face of today's social crisis, who am I? What is a man? The answer to these questions are clearly seen in the story of Martin Luther. Today's Martin Luther, where are you? Poster 119. It's a list of important events in Martin Luther's life. Poster 120. Afterwards. It's been a long time since I first heard about Martin Luther. In the past 500 years, Martin Luther's name was continuously reappearing in many arenas of school of thought, cultural and historical studies. What is the importance of Martin Luther's life? Who is Martin Luther? In the past 40 plus years, cosmic light has been pouring into the ministry of soul reviving. Through the studies of history, especially collecting historical images, displaying them in various exhibitions and publications, we give our full effort in every project. When it comes to Martin Luther, it naturally became the central focus of cosmic light. In the past 10 years, we presented many panel exhibitions pertaining to Chinese church history, gaining support and encouragement, expanding in networking resources and experiences. Poster 121. When we look forward to the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation led by Martin Luther, there was much hope and excitement. On one hand, we were eager to tackle the project. On the other hand, it seemed to be a very difficult task. At times, we sensed both the urgency and the deficiency. It was not until 2015 we made the bold decision to pour ourselves into this difficult project. In the past 2 years, we often had surprising encounters with Martin Luther in the process of researching. Yet, it is without a doubt only a few fragments of Martin Luther's abundant life story. The search is to be continued by those who are encouraged by the life of Martin Luther.